I would like to welcome everyone to the meeting today. Can everyone hear me clearly? Members of the public should remain seated throughout the meeting and should not speak. Everyone should ensure their mobile telephones are either turned off or switched to silent. The use of mobile devices for recording is not permitted. The proceedings of the meeting will be audio recorded, except where the Council is considering any exempt matters. The recording equipment is linked to the microphone system, so please ensure your microphone is switched on before speaking. Members are reminded that they are personally responsible for any comments they make at the meeting. I would remind councillors of their obligations under the Councillors' Code of Conduct to declare any financial or significant non-financial interests which they have in any item of business before the meeting today. If you have such an interest, please either declare it now or immediately before the item itself, stating the item of business it relates to. Having declared an interest, members should leave the table for the duration of the discussion on that item and should not take part in the vote. Okay, members, you're all very welcome to the Audit Committee meeting. And the first item on the agenda is apologies. Have we any apologies? No. Chairperson's remarks. As this will be my last meeting, I would just like maybe just to make a few comments, members. This is the end of my four-year term, and I would like to start by thanking the members, the councillors, for their support throughout my time in office. And also, I would like to thank the political parties, you know, who, where possible, have tried to ensure that there was a continuity from year to year on the Audit Committee, and that allowed us to build up experience, maximise the training, and also, build up the expertise as Audit Committee members. So thanks for that. I would like also to thank ASM, the internal auditors, for the professional service provided, and in particular Christine Hagen, who has been at all the meetings. I would also like to welcome Tomás to his first meeting from the Northern Ireland Audit Office. And Tomás has taken over from Colette Kane. And just to thank Colette again for all her support during my time. I think it's fair to say that really that we started off this Audit Committee 4 years ago. It was the start of the new council, and we're really starting the Audit Committee off again from the very basics. And I think that really over the 4 years we've made a lot of progress, and that's down to Verena's leadership and to Ken, and also to Jared, who's come into post. And I think we're in a better position now at the end of the 4 years than we were at the start. We've got a risk management strategy, we have corporate risks, and I say we've got a very positive annual assurance report today from internal audit. So I think that we've ended in a more positive place. I would like particularly to thank Jared, because Jared works very, very closely with me and making sure that we get all the papers that are required for the agenda out as quickly as possible, and does an excellent job in doing that. I would like to also thank our committee section, our Democratic Services, and Sarah, you've been doing the meetings more recently, and we start off with you, Louise, so just to welcome you back to the Audit Committee too. Good to see you back. But again, thanks for the service. You know, it's an excellent service, and everything is done in a very efficient way, and the minutes are out quickly and so on. So we can't ask for any more than that. And I've heard that the Chief Executive has retired. So again, I would like to just thank Liam as the Chief Executive for all his support during my time, and I don't think you missed any meetings at all, Liam, 100%, and I wish you all, no, that's a good thing, sort of, and I wish you all the best in your retirement, That's if you retire or take things a bit easier anyway. You know. And then last but not least is just to welcome Brona to the meeting. And Brona's Clevin and I have worked together for many years now. Colleagues in local government, whenever I was in local government. And I wish you all the best, Brona, and your term as independent chair, and I've no doubt you'll do a great job. So good luck on that. So that's the chairperson's remarks. Members, declaration of interest, is there any interest?
No, Chair, can I just make a comment for the record to thank you for your from our party side of things anyway, and I think maybe the rest of the members will want to do it separately, for the last 4 years and your guidance and valuable assistance to the members and our pre-meetings.
Okay, thanks for that, Mark. Yeah, okay, thanks for that, Vicky, and I have to say that really I've enjoyed the 4 years. I know it's sad, rushing, but you know, I think we've covered a lot of good work, and some of us,
I was on the audit committee for the Legacy Council, and the audit committee for this, audit committee for on the board of Labour's NI for 2 terms, audit committee in Nilga. I don't know which scares me more, not getting elected on the 2nd of May, or not getting back in the audit committee.
Yeah, you know.
Just Chairman Bobby, just from the officer's point of view, is that again, it's been great working with you over the last 4 years. I know that it was like when we moved into a new council with different regimes, different cultures. Yeah. I think the audit committee took us a bit of a while to get her steered into the right direction. But I think with the members and yourself in the chair, I think you've done a great job. Certainly, I know I felt my shoulder felt on several occasions of the challenges and issues being raised. But again, that's for the good audit committee about it. Again, it has worked very well under your chairmanship. So thank you for your work with us at this point in time.
Thanks for that, Dave. Okay. So we've still got an audit committee to get through here. So any declarations of interest on any items today? No. Third item then is the action sheet. And in terms of the action sheets, I think all the actions are completed, with the exception of one, and that's to do with the database. And Chair, could you maybe give us an update as to, is there any progress in relation to that?
Yeah, so the financial assistance policy was approved by SMT, the AAC committee, and also council in April 2009. So it's going to be effective, and falling out from the revised financial assistance policy is the specification for the procurement of a grants management database, and then training will all follow. So the first stepping stone was actually getting the financial assistance policy in place, so that's now approved. So we'll move on to the next stage.
So that will come back to a future meeting of the audit committee. And are members content that all the other actions are complete and can be removed from the action list? Yeah. A proposer and seconder for that, please. Okay, thank you. Item 5, members, is for noting, and that's the new terms of reference for. Item 4. Item 4 is the. It's just a small item to do with the independent chairperson and Mrs. Jones's appointment.
Yes, members, so just a formal paper advising you, as you're already aware, that Mr. Joe Campbell steps down, having served a 4-year term, and following a public recruitment process, Ms. Brona Slevin has been appointed, and Brona takes up position officially now in April 2019, and will chair her first meeting then in July. So it's just really for noting, members. Thank you.
Okay, members, content to note. Yeah, and Item 5, members, is the Audit Committee Terms of Reference, and this has been approved by Council on the 4th of March, and it's for noting.
Yes, again, members, you'll already be aware that this has been approved by council. We do have, it's best practice that the audit committee review its terms of reference on an annual basis. To just assure members that we have updated this in accordance with the CIPSA Audit Committee Handbook 2018 and also using the HM Treasury Audit Committee Handbook 2016 as well. So we will continue to do that on an annual basis and bring that to members' attention. So again, for noting, members.
Okay, thanks for that, Peter. Any comments, questions, members? So item 6 then is the corporate risk register, and Raina, you're taking that one as well.
Yep, thank you, Chair. So members presenting today the corporate risk register to you for noting. The senior management team completed a thorough review of the corporate risk register at their meeting on the 2nd of April. You'll see at item 2.1, we have updated it for minor changes only, being the updating of any new actions being taken to address the risk, progress on actions ongoing, and provided some more detail within certain risks. There are no new risks added, and we have not removed any risks. You'll also see that the audit services manager will now do a detailed review of all of the underlying directorate risk registers, and that process commences during the April-May period. So that will inform our next review of the risk register as an audit committee in July, and also then to advise that we are in the process of completing the year-end assurance statements from assistant directors, and then in due course from the directors, and they will be provided to the chief executive to allow him to inform his annual governance statement. So happy to take any comments or questions, members, and that's for noting today.
Okay, members, any questions, comments for Raina? Raina, I just have two observations, and it's just to do with the corporate risks 10 and corporate risks 11. It's just to have an update on that and to see is there any likelihood going forward that those risks can be reduced to score.
Yeah, so corporate risk 10 is our risk of industrial relations deteriorating. You will see from this risk that we had previously sought the assistance of the Labour Relations Agency in relation to our IR position. That has now ended, and we were hopeful of progress in that area. We have got agreements to set up working groups with relevant members of the key trade unions present and relevant personnel from senior management team, and we are about to embark on a series of meetings to try and progress a number of key matters to this council. We did discuss it at SMT, but because we haven't really commenced that process of the working groups yet, we thought it was a little bit premature to reduce that risk at this stage. But again, would be hopeful that we're moving in the right direction to see that risk reducing in due course. With regard to corporate risk 11, again, this is around health and safety risk in relation to fire risk assessments. This was originally elevated because progress in carrying out remedial works wasn't happening as quickly as we had anticipated. Again, we have seen progress in this area, but we, our building control department, are about to do their update in this area and do another set of fire risk assessments. So again, we didn't reduce the risk at this stage until we see the outworkings of that review by building control. But again, we'll report back to you at your next meeting, and we'll be hopeful that we'll see some progress there.
Very good. Okay, members, thanks for that, Raina. And that takes us on to item 7. Which is the prompt payments, and Ken, you're going to take that report.
Thank you, Chair. This prompt payment report is for the quarter ended the 31st of March 2019. In section 2.1, we had a total of 4,794 invoices processed. 4,387 of those was paid within 30 days. 583 was paid within 10 days, and 407 invoices was paid outside the period of 30 days. 91.5% of invoices was paid within 30 days. If any has any questions?
I can just really more a comment than on the progress that has been made on this. You know, it's great to see, and I think from memory, even the ones outside the period, although the 8.5% is only a small bit down, the actual amount of money involved, I think, is dramatically reduced. So that's a positive for us that we're getting all that out.
Okay.
Thanks for your work.
Thanks, Councillor Moore, for those comments. Okay, thanks for that, Ken. And we'll move on to item 8. And this is for noting, and it's the fraud and whistleblowing update.
Okay, the purpose of this report is to notify the members of any new suspected fraud or whistleblowing cases and any updates from previous fraud and whistleblowing cases from the last committee up until the 10th of April 2019. So since the last committee, there were 3 new cases reported, and from the appendix you can see that all cases have now closed, barring 2. Work is undergone with both these remaining cases, and at the end of these will be closed off prior to the July committee. Just to update then on the National Fraud Initiative exercise, the 2018-19 exercise is now underway, and we've received our matches back from Treasury. So in total, Council has 739 NFI matches, with 19 of these being tabled as high priority. In the 2016-17 exercise, we had 306 matches with 26 high priority. So I suppose the reason for the large increase in matches is due to the number of different match reports which Treasury now run. It has almost doubled. So going forward, all high priority matches will be reviewed, and a 10% sample of the remaining matches in line with best practice. So the results were in line with other councils. The National Fraud Initiative was discussed at a recent internal auditor working group meeting. So if anybody has any questions.
Okay, thanks for that, Chair. Are members content to note?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. That takes us on to item 9, which is the direct award contracts. Chair, if you can take this report.
So direct award contracts are those which are awarded without a competition. And the ones over 5,000 are reported to the audit committee. All these require approval by the chief executive or one of the 4 directors. So in the final quarter of 2018-19, the council awarded 19 contracts by way of direct award, and the total value of these was 307,000. So in the appendix is a list of all the contracts with the spend and the suppliers and who approved them. So it's just for noting.
Thanks, Chair. Members, any comments, questions for Jared on item 9? Okay, thanks for that, Chair. Item 10 is an update on audit recommendations. You're going to take that one, Chair. Thank you.
So another standing agenda item. So it's gone back right back to the 2015-16 internal audit recommendations. There's only 3 recommendations outstanding which are partially implemented, and these are in relation to off-street car parking and the agreement with the Transport NI. So they'll remain partially implemented until the contract ends in 2021. In relation to the 2016-17 recommendations, there is 19 partially implemented and 7 not implemented at all as of yet. So most of the recommendations partially or not implemented relate to the fleet management audit. So it is hoped that there will be some movement prior to the next meeting. And then they've also recorded the Northern Ireland Audit Office recommendations from the reports of those charges of governance and the progress we've made to date also. So the priority 1 point was around procurement. So again, it's partially implemented, and the reason why it's only partially implemented is because the second stage of this was in relation to contract management, which is the next stepping stone in relation to procurement. And then the other priority 1 in 17-18 was in relation to asset management. So again, it's partially implemented, and work is ongoing to move this to fully implemented. Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Chair. Members, any comments, questions? No, just to welcome the progress, Chair. Thanks for that. And then item 11 is the timetable for the completion of the financial statements for year ended 31st of March 2019. Jared, over to you again.
So again, this is only for noting. In 2016-17, the Northern Ireland Audit Office reported on the quality of the accounts presented for audit, and one of the recommendations was to bring a timetable forward, sort of allocating key tasks to individuals and a timescale for them being completed. So we used this last year, and the NIO were content with the presentation of the accounts for audit. So again, we're going to follow along with this method. So the appendix lists some of the key dates, and I suppose just a couple of them, 11 and 12, the draft governance statement and the completion of the management accounts are going to be presented to the 4th of June SMT, and then the draft accounts, which are subject to the audit committee, are being brought to the audit committee on the 3rd of July 2019. Thank you.
Okay, thanks for that, Chair. So members, we have a timetable for the work that has to be done on the accounts, and the draft accounts will come to the next audit committee meeting. So are members content to note?
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you. And that now takes us to closed business. And could I have a proposer and seconder to move into closed business, please? Proposed, Councillor Rann. And seconder, Councillor Mulgrew. And members, now we have a number. Green, if you can just read out the decisions that were taken for the tip, please.
Sure. Thank you, Chair. So, whilst in closed session, the following was agreed. Item 12, it was agreed to note the Northern Ireland Audit Office audit strategy for the 18-19 year. Item 13, ASM summary progress report, was taken with items 15, 16, 17, 18, and 19. And it was agreed to note the contents of the ASM summary report and progress report, including the ASM internal audit reports on the validation of performance indicators, environmental health, enterprise employment and regeneration, HR management policies and procedures, and the follow-up of 2017 audit recommendations. And also item 14, it was agreed to note the contents of the ASM annual assurance report.
Okay, thanks for that, Duina. So members, we're now back in open business, and we've got items 20 to 25. They are circulars, and if members are content, I'll ask Duina to maybe bring anything to the audit committee's attention that thinks would be appropriate, please.
Thank you, Chair. Members, we've tabled them all for your reference and for noting, but if I could just highlight a number of the circulars for you. Item 20 is the departmental circular on the Consolidated Councillors' Alliances, and it's just to assure members that the rates included within that Councillors' Alliances circular will be updated in our payroll systems accordingly. I'd also like then to highlight item 22, which again is a departmental circular on the accounts direction for 18-19. And again, just to assure the audit committee that we will be following the accounts direction in compiling the statement of accounts, and we'll be bringing a draft account for the 18-19 year to the July meeting of this committee. And lastly, just to highlight item 24, which is the departmental circular on the template of councillors' alliances returns. Just to highlight members, you'll be aware this is something which we are asked to publish on our website. We are required to publish on our website annually on or before the 1st of July 2019. You'll be aware of the format when you see it in the template. And members, as in previous years, we will circulate that to you in advance of making that public information. Okay, that was the only one that I wanted to draw any attention to.
Okay, thanks for that. Any comments, questions, Councillor Casey?
Yeah, one we raised at our earlier meeting, if you remember,
yes.
The Code of Conduct, the Declaration of Acceptance of Office. If you remember, in 2014, 2015, we were obliged to sign Code of Conduct, not knowing what the content of it was. We were told that we wouldn't be able to take our seats at council at that stage if we didn't sign on to it. And then it was published, and a review was almost instantaneously called for, which was a part of a delegation from NAC and NILGA who went to the review board, and there were a number of recommendations were taken on board. But those recommendations are sitting with the new Code of Conduct, which we still haven't seen. It's sitting probably in the desk of the permanent secretary. Or whoever has it, don't know where it is. We haven't seen it yet. We will. Those of us who are fortunate enough to get re-elected will have to go through that similar process again of signing up to a code of conduct which we know nothing about. And it seems now that was this not permitting the commissioner for complaints, the power of that particular person is increasing and increasing month after month, and it's becoming it's a scary situation for elected members, the power that particular person has.
Okay, thanks for that, Councillor Casey. Any other comments, questions? So, we'll note Councillor Casey's comments. Okay. So, members, any other business? No? If I can then just bring the meeting to a close and to thank members and officers for their contributions and to thank Louise and Sarah for the minutes. Okay, so thanks very much. Yeah, thank you.